You are listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, voters have until early May to gather signatures that would refer any legislation passed during the 2024 session to a vote this fall. And one of the bills that received a lot of public opposition in South Dakota is Senate Bill 201. That is part of the ongoing debate over carbon capture pipelines in the state. Garrick Martz is editor of the Garrettson Gazette, and he is stepping in as our Dakota political junkie for the day.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to see you again. I guess I haven't worn out my welcome yet.
Not yet. You have been reporting since January 19th, 2022 on this topic, so I'm looking forward to having ongoing conversations about this with you. Senate Bill 201 was a compromise, I am told, and in the sense it's a compromise, almost nobody is happy with it. But the people who oppose it are unhappy with it. Why? Help us understand a little bit about what this bill was trying to do and why some people don't like it.
Well, Senate Bill 201, obviously, I've done a lot of reporting on the carbon capture one. It was basically Will Mortensen, our House, he's our grand mucky-muck, he's in charge. and so this was the compromise bill that that was basically settled at the last minute. The people who have opposed it, you know, the landowners, you know, we talked about this earlier this summer, that if the legislature did something, it'd be a welcome change if they stepped up and helped the people. Basically, the people who I regularly talk to, Rick Bonander, for one, who is one of the many, he was recently elected as a public utilities commissioner for Minnehaha County. He's been opposed to this kind of from the get-go, and he's not very happy. I had a nice phone conversation with him before him and his group went to the legislature on the final veto day to protest against it, that they felt that this should not be signed. It should be done away with, basically. So why they're not happy about it is because they feel like it's rolled out the red carpet for the carbon capture companies at the expense of the landowner, that it's a compromise in name only, that the landowner bill of rights that was tacked onto it is a compromise or is a protection in name only, that they're not getting the protections that they need, quite simply.
Leader Mortensen would disagree. He would say there are protections put in here. What is the other side of this? From his perspective, lawmakers were saying, hey, this is why we think it's a good thing. This is why we're putting our names on. Governor did not veto it.
Well, hot and fresh, Rick Bonander said, for example, the one thing that was passed that maybe we'll give them a minor bit of credit, but maybe we won't, is that they put time limits on these easements. Yeah. So 5 years if they don't build anything and 99 years if they do, these easements will expire. Now, you and I know that means 99 years, anybody who's alive and working the land at the time these easements are struck will be long dead by the time they expire. And Mr. Bonander and many others I talked to find that frankly insulting.
So they found it insulting that the land was perhaps undervalued.
Yes.
That it was in perpetuity at some point, and now it's really within their lifetimes.
Yeah.
They're not happy with the safety regulations.
Yep. And the carbon capture companies are supposed to, make public their safety what they're going to do for safety, their safety plan, what the ag impact plan could be, these studies, and we'll say this, legally liable if there's a leak. That has been enshrined in South Dakota law. But do we want to give them credit for that? I would say that's maybe the bare minimum for morality and legality. I mean, yes, it's nice to have that spelled out in state statute that, hey, yeah, you built this. You're responsible if there's a leak and people die. I think we're all okay with that. But as far as, compensation, their own property rights, they're questioning, and I've had letters to the editor about this. I've had phone calls. Their question is do we actually own the land we're working? You know, and that is a fundamentally good question. I've seen a lot of bitterness as far as this is concerned that, hey, they're just going to do this anyway. But then Rick and some others like him are like, we're going to try and fight and we're going to take it to the voters now. That's right. The plan.
So the plan is to get signatures. They would have to get more than 17,000 mm-hmm. signatures. Do you think this has a statewide impact to the place where they could get the signatures, and that people will understand the issue and know what to do on the ballot if it arrives there?
I would say they probably do. They've got this is a grassroots organization, and I've kind of watched it all continue and develop. There were the people who went and protested in Pierre. They're from all walks of life, all over the state. I think when, you know, you go with their slogan that I see on the signs all over the rural Gerritsen area, no eminent domain, no for private gain, no carbon pipelines, you know, that I think they have the support that they need to get for those signatures, to get it on the ballot.
And you write in the Gazette that this is really not a political issue in the sense that you're a Republican or you're a Democrat and you're for or against this. People from all kinds of political backgrounds are coming mm-hmm. together and are upset about this.
I have seen Republicans and Democrats both want to oppose this because it's their family's land or it affects a family member. And it comes down to the question of, do we own this land? Is this our land? Or do we not? What rights do we actually have? And so I will, and as I, you know, a journalist, you're supposed to be objective, and I am. But at the same time, you see your people, and then these are the people who write me the checks to keep my to get their subscriptions, to keep me in business. I see them struggling, and I will always fight for them, no matter what the issue. And I think that's just general integrity, period.
The carbon pipeline companies seem fairly confident that this is a matter of time, that I have not personally heard them say they misstepped mm-hmm. by some of the way they engaged the public in the first place. And you write about how now they seem to be treating people with a little more consideration, mm-hmm. that you catch a little more flies with honey kind of philosophy. They feel pretty good about the future because they believe in this project and the need to capture carbon. The future of agriculture is this, they would say. Do you see room for compromise, or are you having a hard time seeing in the Venn diagram of this, is there anything in the center where they overlap?
I have a hard time, you know, believing a lot of this stuff. I know ethanol is profitable. I use ethanol every time. I think anybody who fills up in South Dakota likes to use ethanol because mm-hmm. it's a little cheaper. I don't see the need for this carbon capture, though. We don't know if it's necessarily environmentally, if it's environmentally beneficial. What we do know is that it's potentially very profitable for them. They're going to make billions by sequestering this carbon on tax credits. So where's the South Dakotans cut? You know, these people who are owning this land, they could, again, simply buy this land and then build it and have no issues. But instead, they want to take this other route. To me, that just seems a little on the shady side. And again, especially when a leak could cause so much devastation. If you go by, Palisades State Park, right outside of Gerritsen, great place, love that place. One of the signs that's very nearby, it crosses that creek, and it says carbon pipelines will be built here with a nice big radioactive symbol on top of it. Just imagine, if you will, Lori, if one of these pipelines fails, and that liquid CO2 gets into the water supply and it goes straight down to the Big Sioux right here across Phillips Avenue from where we are now. That's what's going to happen.
So this is not just about money.
No,
this
it's
is not
definitely
just about value.
Not just
it's
about
not
money.
Just about rights. There are landowners have real concern.
They do.
And there are safety regulations. I want to make sure to direct people to that of what conversations we've had with Summit Carbon Solutions, reporting we've done on our website, reporting from the Gerritsen Gazette, outlining exactly what those safety regulations are. Mm-hmm. So you can look those up. We just don't have time to cover mm-hmm. everything in one conversation. But what I'm hearing you say is that those concerns are deep-seated in people's hearts,
and
it's
yes.
going to be awfully hard to overcome that.
Very much so.
For the company.
Their plan is going to have to be so rock solid mm-hmm. and that to convince some of these folks to make it happen. They're going to have such a solid safety plan that we can guarantee there's going to be no problems, because this will affect everybody in South Dakota if this goes wrong.
So one more thing that I wanted to talk before we let you go, and that's about the summer studies. And a conversation we had with Senator Helene Duhamel was talking about Douglas County and education and Ellsworth Air Force Base kind of growing money. You know, we got to stand by the base and sort of enter the 21st century again with national defense and cybersecurity. And I'm wondering, in a town like Garrettson, how does the request for education funding in a town like Box Elder land with the Garrettson School District? Is that something that is like, oh yeah, we're a small town too and we can get behind this? Or is it a, hey, just because you have a base? Like, how does that sort of show up in your dialogue in Garrettson? I'm curious.
Well, at the school board meetings I've attended, I can tell you that they'll say that, yeah, nobody's getting enough money. Recently, of course, Garrettson opted out because we didn't simply have the revenue to maintain expenses. And this is the case for almost 50% of school districts, or yeah, I think it was like 49 or 50% of school districts all across the state. The system is broken and nobody in Pierce seems really interested in fixing it. So I understand Box Elder's concerns, and having, you know, my grandparents lived in Rapid City for years. Both my grandpas were veterans. I understand that. And I think, sure, yeah, they should move forward, and they should, that's great. But everybody needs to move forward. We need to change the education system as it is, because right now it's simply not working. And all school districts could use a little more money.
Right. Political analysis on our Dakota Political Junkies conversation today from Garrick Moritz. He is publisher of the Garrettson Gazette, which you can subscribe to.
Yes, you can subscribe to. Hot news, what we were just talking about, right there on this week's paper I brought with me. So,
The sound of a local newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Laurie.